The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UAP reality. Hi, I'm David Twitchell, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO, UAP, and abduction phenomenon.
Our guest today is Mr. Daryl Stengel. For 33 years, Daryl was a special education teacher in the Iowa Public Schools. He is a former assistant state director for the Mutual UFO Network in Iowa, and has been a UFO and paranormal investigator for the past 25 years. Daryl is also a hypnotherapist and has used the practice to explore some of the hidden memories of those who claim to have been abducted by alien beings, which is a phenomenon of which he has also been a party. Mr. Stengel is knowledgeable in all aspects of the UFO phenomenon, from sightings and abductions to crop formations, cattle mutilations, and the ancient prophecies of our Native Americans, which were allegedly given to them by otherworldly gods. He works with a group of Reiki healers who all have had ET contact. He is the coordinator of a group called the Bridges Paranormal Society. Daryl has been the guest of on numerous radio shows, and just recently on Coast to Coast. Daryl was on We Are Not Alone a little more than a year ago, and we are happy to welcome him back. So, hello, Daryl.
Well, hello, David. Thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you back. I remember we talked at length about UFOs and spirituality, so I thought I'd revisit that. I think you have a little bit more information to impart after that year. What do you think?
No doubt. There's some interesting developments that have happened in this area in the last 6 months.
And really?
So I would be more than willing to share some of that research.
I appreciate it. Let's start with your experiences. When did your own UAP experiences begin?
I was probably about 12 years old when I was living on the farm with my family in Southwest Iowa, and one day my mother was coming home midday and she saw a UFO over our farm. Shortly after that, my brother and I had a sighting behind our chicken house on our farm, and that took place for over a half an hour. Years later, I did regression work to discover the abduction part of it.
Daryl, can you describe that sighting? That the craft? You saw a craft or what?
Yeah, we saw a craft. My brother. Well, first I got up out of bed and was looking out the window. My father had left the house and the screen door had slammed. So that woke me up. And for some crazy reason, I got up out of bed and looked out the window. About 150 to 200 feet from the house, we had an old chicken house. And up behind the chicken house, there was this bright light that was, it was wider than the chicken house. So it looked like the light was up probably another 500 feet past the chicken house. And it was of the size that when it was behind the chicken house, it would slowly move back and forth where you could see almost the entire craft once it passed the chicken house. So it kept moving back and forth from north to south, from south to north. And it did that for about 15 minutes. And then I watched it for that time. And then I did what normal brothers do. I woke up my big brother because I was scared.
Yeah.
And so he got up and he watched it with me. And so for the next probably about 30 minutes, we continued to watch the craft moving back and forth. I remember seeing white lights. My perception was that it was a disc-shaped object. And it seemed to have, what I remember, white lights that were shining down from it. My brother's rendition of the story is that he saw colored lights, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, after watching it for that period of time, then I finally got scared and I dove under the covers and I was kind of waiting for my brother to come down and get under the covers. But I went to sleep by that time and we never talked about it for like 20 years after that.
Okay, so this was, what time of day was this? Early in the morning?
This was like 2 o'clock in the morning, between and two. Yeah.
And you say you heard the door slam, the screen door.
Yeah. Well, at that time, my father was farrowing hogs, and we had sows that were having piglets, and so he was going down to the barn to check on them, or that's what I assume he was doing.
Did you ever talk to your dad about this?
I never did. Isn't that strange? But that's
no,
part of the phenomenon.
It's strange, but it's very symptomatic of a sighting.
Yeah.
You have the sighting, and it happened with me and my family. You have the sighting, and then you just go about your business like nothing happened. And then sometimes it takes years. And then all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, I remember that.
Well, and our family talked many times about my my mom's sighting previously, you know, and she got to the point where she wouldn't talk about it because my dad kept making fun of her, telling her she was crazy. So we never talked about it. It wasn't until about 1984 that I by that time I had undergone some hypnosis about it. I challenged my brother to find out what he remembered. And he said he remembered seeing the lights, but that's all. But the regression session that I did with Dr. Gray Woodman in Clinton, Iowa, in about 1995, I think it was, 95, it revealed that my brother, too, had an abduction that same night. But, you know, I brought that up to him, and he refused to even consider talking about it.
He didn't say that he recalled it, did he?
No, he didn't. He did remember or had conscious memory of seeing the craft, but that's all that he remembers consciously.
Yeah. Yeah, same way with me. I have conscious memory of seeing the craft, but that was it.
How old were you when you had your sighting?
I was 14, and my sister was 17, and she didn't have any. She remembers seeing the craft, but then years later, she underwent hypnosis, and she saw me being led into the craft. And then she was led into the craft. Now, whether our parents were led in or not, we don't know.
Yeah.
Because when she returned, the three of us were standing on the lawn looking up, like frozen, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So she doesn't know what happened with me other than she saw me being taken into the craft.
Did you ever undergo hypnosis?
No, I say I don't want to know.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
You know, leave sleeping dogs lie, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I was pretty shaky. I was at her the hypnosis session with her.
Okay.
And I was quite shaken when she started talking about this. Because I thought, oh no, she's an abductee. And then she goes on, and I'm an abductee, you know?
Yeah.
But she recalls several abductions. Well, not abductions, actually, but you know how that people see the beginning of, you know, see the craft, perhaps, and maybe see alien beings in their room, and then boom, nothing. And then they remember the aftermath, remember waking up, maybe seeing the craft depart.
Yeah.
But nothing in the middle. So that's kind of the way she knows that she's been abducted several times. She used to say that she thought as a kid, in the middle of the night, everybody just got drifted up off their bed and drifted through a window and that was it.
So that's what happened to her. She went through the window.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what she says she remembers. But then, of course, that was the onset of the abduction, and she doesn't remember anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but she never mentioned it. You know, I mean, if she
did, did she have abductions later in life?
Yes.
Ongoing,
yeah. I mean, you know, not all the time, but on occasion.
Has she had any in recent years?
No, she hasn't. She's 79 now.
Okay.
And,
so
I guess they don't want her anymore.
in her experiences, did she ever have a short-term pregnancy?
She did, and then the doctor said she was pregnant, and she and her husband were very happy about that. And then she had a dream that this doctor took the baby and put it in the sink. And that was the extent of her dream.
Was the end of that pregnancy around the end of the first trimester?
Yes. And then she goes back to the doctor. She went back to the doctor, and he checked her. He says, "You're not pregnant." And he even called in another doctor to confirm his findings that she just wasn't pregnant. Now, usually with a pregnancy that has been aborted for any reason, miscarriage, whatever, they would need a DNC. And she never required a DNC.
Yeah.
So she was pregnant. Now she's not pregnant, and no DNC. So that doesn't add up. What it adds up to is alien abduction and impregnation.
And harvesting of the fetus.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. In my hypnosis practice, I've run into probably half dozen women who've had similar experiences and have come up with no pregnancy.
Yeah, and first they're pregnant and then they're not, right?
Right, right, yeah. So yeah, it's an alarming thing for those when that happens, and probably even more so when they find out that it was an abduction and the baby was taken.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I need to take a short break just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, Making Waves. And I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. And we're speaking with Mr. Daryl Stangle of Iowa. Okay? And we're talking about alien abductions and hybrid children. In fact, you mentioned that you've seen your own hybrid children. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
The earliest abductions were taken place in about 1966. Then in 1984, I was married for a second time, and I lived near Ottumwa, Iowa. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I didn't realize that Ottumwa was having a UFO flap, but ended up buying a house with my second wife. And during that time, because I was married with her for 5 years, and we moved to the southwest corner of Ottumwa. And during that time, numerous nights, I would get up and go to the sink and get a glass of water. And then I'd look out the west window, and there'd be these bright orange globes, or one at a time, would be seen flying out in the sky. So I would get out in my truck, and I'd go try to chase it down. And so for about 3 years, I did that. And it was such that I later was to learn that during those chases at night, I was having further abductions.
Really?
And it was on those abductions, I met a hybrid female that I had known for a number of years. And I'm assuming that she was the mother of my hybrid children.
You had known this hybrid female for a number of years. How did you know her?
When I was abducted during that first portion that I told you about, she was on the craft, and she was the one that was helping to do the sperm collection. I remembered seeing her when I did the hypnosis later on. And then since that time, after that time period in 1984, when I moved out of that house, I don't remember specifically seeing her since then, but I've had telepathic messages that my kids, my hybrid children, are there. Well, I know there was a time, and I'm not exactly sure in the whole timeline, but there was an abduction where I was taken aboard a craft, and this hybrid female showed me my three hybrid children. I had two daughters and one son that was in a, kind of like an incubation chamber. Mm-hmm. And being brought to full development in that setting. And then since that time, I've had dreams about seeing those children, and I've kind of watched the children grow. Mm-hmm. And then that takes us to, within the last year or two, I've been told that at least some of my hybrid children are on the backside of the moon.
They're on the moon, or in a ship, or
no? They're living in some kind of environment on the backside of the moon.
Okay, yeah. And they say that there are bases on the backside of the moon.
Yeah, I remember many years ago talking to a researcher from the University of Nebraska, and he was doing research into some of the colonization on the backside. Mm-hmm. But now, just in the last 6 months, I have met a friend here in Fairfield who's been an abductee all of her life. And she said that she just recently had conscious memory of being taken to the backside of the moon. Hmm. She was shown, and then she too told me of the former state director of Iowa, MUFON, and she said that she was aware of this going on, and so I talked to her, and she said there were two people up by the Des Moines area that also have been taken to the backside of the moon.
Wow. Of course, we'll never know about that, will we?
We'll
never know for sure from
government
or what have you.
Well, yeah, you won't know it from the government. They'll never come clean.
But. Well, they kind of have of late, you know. They're giving us little bits and pieces, grains of corn or whatever you want to call it.
If that much, you know.
But they've admitted that they're real, but then they say they're not ours, but they're either China's, Russia's, or other. Now, fill in the blank.
There's just so many different stories out there to confuse people and keep them wondering.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going back on the speaking circuit, trying to tell more of my story and convince people that there has been a cover up. And, you know, I've interviewed probably 100 different farmers in Southeast Iowa, and they've seen UFOs, and one couple even had a UFO come down, and they looked, the occupants inside the UFO, they were just outside the kitchen window, and they looked at them eye to eye, and then it took off. But there's lots of farmers that can tell you stories, but, you know, the government doesn't, or not the government, people who are trying to often talk about it don't use farmers as resources to educate people with, and
people say, oh, that's just Bubba out in his field and seeing things and this, that.
Oh, yeah. They try to write it off.
It's easy to write it off when there's, you know, it's a desolate and a rural area. But when it's parked over, like my sighting was in a residential area in Detroit, and other people saw it, and some of them reported it. And the government said, oh, they just saw the northern lights.
Yeah.
Well, my family saw this craft come through a portal in the sky.
Uh-huh.
And so when we watch the Skinwalker Ranch, and they say, oh, it looks like a transversible portal or vortex. Well, that's exactly what it is. I know that it's exactly what it is. I saw it, you know, and many other people have too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's either extraterrestrial, other dimensional, or extraterrestrials coming through other dimensions.
Have you ever studied any of the intraterrestrial?
I've heard of that. I haven't gotten into it. I'm just so confused with the rest of it.
All right. It's just part of the spectrum that I get to talk about because, here in Iowa, I've discovered that there is one group of the ETs called the Reptilians.
Oh, yeah.
And they use the old coal mines in Iowa that are closed down now and locked off from public access, and they use those. I did an investigation with one family that was having all kinds of UFOs over the house. And so I went up and I talked to them, and then I showed them a picture of one of the reptilian ETs that I had seen. And they said, well, we see those all the time. They walk through our basement. It used to be an old coal mine shaft. And they walk through the one wall, walk across our basement, and walk out the other wall. And we've seen that hundreds of times.
Wow.
I researched with Barbara Bartholik in Tulsa, Oklahoma for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And she was a reptilian researcher. And she told a similar story about some guys working in some kind of mine down in southern Missouri. And they, too, had seen a reptilian down at the bottom of the mine.
Wow. So if they're walking through walls and what have you, they have to be other dimensional.
Yeah, yeah. Because, or at least have those capabilities.
Yeah, have that technology to make them. But yeah. I'm going with other dimensional.
Well, you know, but when you think about it, it's not that much different than what ghosts and spirits do.
Right.
They walk through walls and
right.
I don't know how to explain it or compare it because I just kind of am reporting what I've heard and what I've seen.
So what have you been told, maybe from ET, about the hybridization of program in general? Anything?
Well, I've come to learn, and I don't know if I've learned this specifically from them telling me this or if I've just deduced it, but I understand that the ET race was kind of in a limited time period that they were going to exist, and that they didn't have the reproduction capabilities that we as humans do,
mm-hmm.
so that they then began to do some of the genetic engineering that, like farmers do with cattle and that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
livestock, and they were doing it to help their race continue. And mm-hmm. so initially when I had the first abduction and had the sperm sampling going on, you know, I came away with a large amount of anger toward them and
right.
you know, hated their guts for doing that to me. Mm-hmm. But as time has gone on and I have learned more about what we as humans do with our own animals,
mm-hmm.
as far as the genetic research, you know, I've softened my stance with the grays, or at least some of them, because I understand some of the grays work for different ET groups, and some of them are just trying to survive on their own.
Right, right.
You know.
Right. I wrote a book, A New Heaven, A New Earth, and it's science fiction, but it utilizes all of the, a lot of the things that people experience with ET and what they've garnered from their experiences. And that's pretty much true. I use this as, you know, the foundation for my characters, in that the small grays are just trying to survive. Survive their race.
Yeah, yeah. And so by the hybridization program.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Now, I don't know if David Jacobs would agree with
disagree.
That stand.
No, he know, would.
You know,
I've had him on the show, and he's an alarmist, I believe. If he's listening, sorry about that, Dave, but you are.
I know. It's such that, yeah, through the years, I've changed my stance on it, and I'm much more empathetic to what at least some of them are doing. I don't know that.
I was going to say, now, I always say that there are, as to humans, there are good humans, bad humans, and indifferent humans. Why
exactly.
should it be any different throughout the universe? You know.
Yeah, and that's the stance that I take now too, and trying to figure out, you know, which ETs are the good ones and which ones are the negative ones. You know, it's a challenge that I probably will never completely understand in my lifetime.
Mm. Oh, I don't think we can. I keep saying, and my listeners have heard me say it many times, that I don't believe that humans can wrap their brains around what's going on. We just don't have the ability.
I agree. And, you know,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, what have you been told about E.T.'s ultimate agenda concerning earthly humans?
Well, and again, you know, when we talk about E.T.'s in general, you know, it's such that the answers are going to vary,
right,
in as many different E.T.'s that we deal with, and as there will be agendas, you know, to try and summarize what the whole E.T. agenda is. I think we're falling way short from trying to get a true picture of what's going on.
Yeah, very difficult.
Have you had experiences with others than the Greys?
Have I personally?
Yes.
Well, no, like I say, I had that one sighting, and I told you all I remember about that evening, and told you what my sister recalled under hypnosis. So they were small Grays.
Okay.
And according to her.
Okay. Because I've had contact with probably 6 or 8 different kinds of ETs, and you know, I know more about the reptilian agenda and the Gray agenda than I do about any of the others.
Yeah. Do you plan on writing a book about this, or have you written a book about this?
I'm working on it. I've been working on it for 20 years.
Don't you think it's time?
Exactly. And that's what all my friends now here in Fairfield keep telling me. It's time. It's time for you to get your story out.
So, well, how many pages you got so far?
I've probably got 150 done.
Okay. Double that and put out, send it to a publisher, publish it yourself.
Yeah.
People when, need
when
to
you,
know.
When you published yours, did you publish it by yourself? Did you
self-publish? Yeah. To Infinity Publishing.
Okay, because that's something that I need to get started on and start talking to publishers about it.
Yeah.
I know here in the town of Fairfield where I live, or I live out in the country, but I've now run into probably about 6 to 8 people that have written books and have published those, and I'm just beginning to scratch the surface on what that's going to take.
Yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't matter who publishes it, who pays for the printing of the book. You know, you go to a brick and mortar publisher, and they're going to take all your profits. I've heard this before. They're going to take all your profits. You're not going to make a dime off of it. But you're going to do all the work for it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They're the ones that pay somebody to print the book and put it in book form, okay?
Right.
So what's the difference if they do it or you do it and keep your profits?
Yeah, that makes good sense to me.
But I'll tell you one thing. Having written 3 books, you don't get rich off of books about UFOs.
Yeah, my desire isn't to make profits money off it.
Yeah.
It's more just to educate humanity.
That was my point. Yeah, I noticed that after my first book, and then I said that doesn't really matter if I'm making money. I want to get the word out. I've had this show for 24 years now. It was on the TV for 10 years, and then I went to radio, and I've been on radio for since 2007. And I don't make a dime off of it, you know? I don't make a dime off of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I educate the public. And I give people like you a platform to inform people,
and
that's my goal.
And I appreciate that very much.
I'm going to take one more minute to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, station making waves. I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to We Are Not Alone. And we're speaking with Mr. Daryl Stengel. He's a researcher and special education teacher for Iowa Public Schools and a former assistant state director for MUFON, or the Mutual UFO Network. So, Daryl, the last time you were on the show, you were related an account where you had interviewed a woman who watched a UAP sit down in a yard and 15 small grays exited the craft. So for those of our listeners who hadn't heard the story, would you please relate that again?
Oh, sure, sure. Well, first of all, I moved to the home I'm in 2004. When I moved here, I met my neighbors who were about 500 feet from my house. And I told them that, you know, I was a UFO researcher, and they told me, well, we have a person that you need to meet. And they told me the name of the person, and then they made contact with her to see if she would sit down and talk with me about experiences that she had. And for 10 years, I tried talking her into sitting down and talking to me. She wouldn't do it. She wasn't going to meet with some stranger who was going to make fun of her. And
yeah,
you know, and so for 10 years, I tried to get the neighbors to get her to talk to me, and she wouldn't do it. And then my neighbor's wife died, so I went to the funeral. When I went to the funeral, this other woman was there. It was at that time that she invited me into her home. And she told me this story about maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I'm not exactly remembering when it was, but she said one morning, it was 5 o'clock in the morning, her husband had died, so she was alone on the farm. And she got up and she watched a craft, a circular craft, a disc-shaped craft, land right out in her yard about 200 feet from the house. When she did that, it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, she said. And then she said, then 15 little gray beings got out of the craft. And for the next hour and a half, they walked around her farm, investigating and looking at things. And she sat and she watched them the whole time. But then she said, after that time period, one by one, they started crawling back into the craft, and then the craft, then it lifted off flat, and then all of a sudden, it turned on edge and shot off. The last time I talked to her, she said that happened like 3 days in a row.
And really?
That, she didn't tell me that the first time she told me the story, so I don't know if she added that or what was going on. But
so
she's a typical farm wife that, you know, is not going to make up a story for attention because she doesn't really want people to know about it.
So, well, what, 3 days in a row. Now, she told you that later on.
Right.
And have you talked to her after that, after she told you the 3 days in a row?
I haven't talked to her in probably 6 to 8 months. So,
okay.
I've got a few more questions I'd like to ask her.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should get back with her and make sure her story remains constant.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it does, you know. I'm sure it does remain constant, but
and I at this point don't really want to challenge her much because it took so much the first time to get to talk to her.
Yeah.
I don't want her to.
You're a seasoned investigator. You know that you know how to approach her without challenging her, you know?
Yeah. And part of it, too, is when you're investigating like that, you have to build the trust with the people before they'll give you their story.
Yeah.
You know?
When she was telling you this, did you write this down as she was telling you or just listen?
At the time, she didn't want anything recorded. So I just listened to her story.
Okay. Well, I asked her if you can write this down. And if she allows that, then just say, okay, let's go over your story one more time so I can write it down.
Yeah.
And see if her story
remains
the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, though, anybody will forget details. What did I tell them? Did I tell them this? I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
I think she's about 80 years old. So,
okay.
You know,
she's
definitely not doing it for attention. Yeah. So
you also, you spoke with me on the phone about something called spirit release. Would you tell us what that's about?
That's one of my favorite topics these days. It is such that in 2001, I watched a reptilian creature exit my third wife. And in that process, then in 2003, that marriage came to a close. And I was introduced to a book called Remarkable Healing by Dr. Shakundalai Modi. And in that book, I was introduced to the concept of spirit releasement. And what that is where a person can do the spirit releasement technique where they can, they can either now as I want to say it, I'm trying to get it to come out. Basically, in spirit releasement, we call in angels to help us clear a person or a place from different things. Sometimes when people die, their spirits don't want to cross over. Using spirit releasement, we can help cross those spirits over, help them go to the light, as is often told in many different kinds of writings. Or sometimes when there are attachments by dark spirits, we can use spirit releasement and we can detach those spirits from having influence on a person who's been previously attached. Like
now, your first wife, did she pass?
My third wife passed. She was the one that was being reptilian hosted.
Okay, so it was your third wife who passed, and when she passed, the reptilian spirit left her body?
No, it was about 3 years before she passed. No, it was longer than that. It was 3 years before we split up that I saw the reptilian. Once we divorced, she lived for another 5 or 6 years after that. But then then she died.
It wasn't a matter of she was possessed by an alien spirit, or was she?
It depends upon the author that you listen to. Dr. Modi would say it was a spirit attachment. Others will call it demonic possession. Just depends whether or not, depends who you're talking to, what their perspective is. But I've come to understand that in my judgment now, many of the reptilians are what are called fallen angels. Mm-hmm. And so in doing that, sometimes we do the technique of remote viewing where we'll look at a person. You can hypnotize a person and they can become a remote viewer and they can see attachments by some of these different kinds of beings. When once you've done the remote viewing on them, then you can decide whether or not you want to use spirit releasement to help clear them of that attachment or that possession, whatever you want to call it.
I see. So I've got written on my notes here, and I don't know what this means. Gathering of people in Fairfield, Iowa, and with alien contact.
Oh, I moved to Fairfield in 2004. And for 20 years, I've just kind of been all alone on not talking to very many people about alien contact that I've had. Mm-hmm. But now in the last 2 years, there have been a number of people who have moved to Fairfield from areas like California or Massachusetts. And a number of these people, probably a high percentage, 75 to 80% of these people that have moved here and have become friends of mine, mm-hmm. have had alien contact. And I just find that to be rather interesting of late, mm-hmm. to all of a sudden have all these people coming together.
Do you think you're attracting people like that?
I don't know that I'm attracting them, but there's something that's attracting them.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But you're getting together with them.
Yeah, we're just getting ready to start a UFO interest group that I have wanted to do for 20 years. And now that these people are coming together, we're getting ready to try and put meetings together where we can talk about the whole phenomena. And
yeah. So you've got enough people to make a group like that, huh?
Yeah, I've probably got between 15 and 20 people.
Oh, that'd be great. Get together once a month or something, you know?
Yeah. That's what I figure. Once a month, and any more than that might be an overload. But
yeah, it would. I should think. But
I find that rather interesting that now in the last 2 years, these people have been coming together. So I think it's got something to do with it's time to help educate the public about what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Pastime. So you're still an investigator for MUFON there?
No, I investigated with MUFON for about 10 years, and now I do it on my own.
Okay, so what have you garnered in the last, I don't know, the last
months? Like I was saying, in the last couple of years, one, in the past, I always looked at the ETs as negative, and mm-hmm. now I'm starting to change my attitude toward that, where some of them are negative, and I'll be the first to admit that, but there also are some that I think they're here for more, more
investigative, right?
Yeah, more beneficial for humanity.
And the hybridization process, is that correct?
That's part of what's going on, It's not the whole agenda. And of course, when you talk about the spectrum of ETs, the agendas vary from group to group. And, I've been trying to study more about the ETs that came down in 75 and shut down the missile silos.
Yeah.
The northern U.S.-Canadian border. And,
right.
And I've come to the conclusion that, those ETs have to have more of a benevolent kind of perspective if they're going to do that, rather than just letting us go ahead and blow ourselves up.
Yeah. Well, one theory about their ET agenda is that they're trying to take our species to another planet, even if it's a hybridization, through hybridization process, because we're killing ourselves and blowing ourselves up, and we're going to blow ourselves up. We don't stop this. And when that happens, the human race will survive. So they're doing it for benevolent purposes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and trying to take us to a different level. And that's part of my book, my sci-fi book.
And I've come to the belief that there are some of the ETs that are there to help save us from ourselves.
Yeah. And how do you do that?
That's where they gather some of us, like they're doing now, and help us to educate the rest of the population. Number one, that they're here, and two, that we've got to stop some of this stuff that we are doing to ourselves.
Right. Well, have there been UFO sightings in Iowa or near you that been reported to you? Or
Not that been reported. Well, I take that back. My neighbor saw one just west of my house about 3 or 4 months ago.
Really?
He said it was a big glowing object in the sky. He said it was no plane. It was just after dusk. So we have an airport that's near my house, and he said it was no plane because it was hanging in the sky for, 15, 20 minutes. And so
that's... Was he able to get a picture of this?
No.
Isn't that something? Yeah. People, it can be there for 15, 20 minutes. If people have smartphones with cameras on, and they just don't think to take a picture of it.
You know?
Why is that?
Well, I think it's got something to do with some of the mental manipulation that goes on by some of the ETs. I think they probably make it so that, I'll just forget, because you've heard and read probably hundreds of stories about people who think they're going to do that, and then when the time comes, it's the last thing that comes to mind.
Yeah. By the time it does come to mind, the object's gone.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I did an investigation with MUFON in the late 90s, and we were in a field up by Sioux City, Iowa, and we walked into a field that had columns of light that were shining down from the clouds. When we walked underneath those columns of light, we looked up, and there was a perfect starlit sky a mile wide above our heads. And it was so strange because we had just walked into the field, and prior to walking there, the whole sky was cloud covered. So how did it turn out to be that there was this mile wide open circle of star-filled sky when 5 seconds earlier it had been completely cloud covered? Well, we finally decided we were looking at the bottom of a craft, and they were using a star-filled sky to help hide the cover cover the
okay.
craft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And because we stood under this star-filled sky for probably 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. The minute we stepped out of the field, the clouds covered it all again. There was no sky or no stars shining. So
yeah, that's,
it was pretty wild.
Coincidental, huh?
Yeah.
Too
yeah,
coincidental.
I doubt it.
A little too coincidental.
Well, it's like what George Norrie on Coast to Coast says. He doesn't believe in coincidence.
I kind of
am following those footsteps.
So you keep up with the Skinwalker Ranch show on history?
I've not. And so I've heard different rumblings about Skinwalker, but I've never really focused in on that.
Like I said earlier, they seem to think that these craft are coming through a vortex.
Okay.
Transversible vortex.
You know,
from where, we don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know much about vortexes. I have started studying portals.
Same thing.
Is it the same thing? Okay. The portals, part of our spirit releasement group does, when we discover portals, we can help close those portals up.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Fairfield, it is such that we've discovered a number of those portals, and reptilians are coming through those. And rather than having the reptilians interact with the human population, we try to close them up so that we try to protect humanity from some of the stuff that they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You hear from Native American tribes in Utah and in Iowa. They claim that the star people have come through these portholes to visit them and educate them and teach them things. And
I'm learning in recent times that the portals often are used by the Sasquatch to come through.
Yeah. And, talked about that many times on my show that first I didn't believe in Sasquatch and Bigfoot, and then I thought, you know, they seem to be hanging around where UFOs have been seen. I wonder if they're being dropped off and picked up or going through portals, you know?
I just had an investigation with one woman who owned a farm in southern Iowa that had many Sasquatch sightings on it. And she has told me that some of the cigar-shaped UFOs are the ones that the Sasquatch wolves.
Okay, it looks like Zoom is kicking us off. So I want to thank you, Daryl Stangle.
Thank you, David.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for that.
Okay, take care.
Thank you. Take care.
And I want to thank you, the loyal listener. Go to WHFR's homepage, scroll down to We Are Not Alone, and click on the headline, which will take you to where you can find my website with all the archive shows. Or click on the Talk Shows button, then the We Are Not Alone button for the latest show archives. And please join me the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UAP phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.